Diego Manny, I wasn't here when we talk about this. But listen, you're looking good.
Oh, wow. Yes, there's Bomani Jones shirtless. He used to make fun of shirtless people, but now he's yoga fit. Look at him. Let's get started old school with my father and Bomani Jones. Welcome to Highly Questionable.
Those some fly shades, too. Like, that's the real part.
Is LeBron right that last night was one of the biggest games of his career?
All right, we have seen some pressurized moments from LeBron James. This does not qualify when you are up against the Miami Heat team that is a five seed, is shorthanded, and you're up 2-1 in the series, and losing the game doesn't mean anything other than the pressure will ratchet up, but you're LeBron James. You've played in 250-plus finals games. At some point, you're going to sort of be immune to that kind of pressure. I thought he played very well, Bomani. I thought the Miami Heat are doing a lot of things to slow him and Anthony Davis down, but because they have the two best players were better than Jimmy Butler was last night. Anthony Davis in this game kept Jimmy Butler away from the rim the way he was in game three, and the difference in the game was a good three-point shooting team was terrible on wide open threes, 2 for 11, the Miami Heat, and the Lakers, a bad three-point shooting team, were a little bit better making a few more and made one at the critical moment. Jimmy Butler missed down two, and in the other corner, Caldwell Pope made one to put them up five. That was the difference in the game.
Hold on. Did he really say that this was one of the biggest games in his career? Because I want to know how big the bushel of the games is that he's talking about with one of the biggest games. Because one of the wildest things about LeBron's career, how many times have we said this is the biggest game in LeBron's career, right? Like, we can name them. Games 5 and 6 against Orlando in 2009. Game 6 against Boston in 2011. Game 6 against Dallas in 2011. Year after year, we can go through the 2012 games. It's like his legacy has been on the line so many different times that if I was one of the dudes on the team, like if I'm Danny Green and I played against you in 2013 in game 6 or 7, this ain't the biggest game in your career. Now, maybe it resonated with some of those younger guys who have not been there, but I find it interesting that he would think that he needed to pull that card out in order to motivate the guys that he had on his team. Because if they were going into game 5-2-2 against the Heat, how many of us would think that the Heat were going to win that series? I don't think any of us would believe that. And LeBron did seem to believe that because he was pushing in the first half. He was not very good there. And then the second half came and it was like, hi, guys, I'm LeBron James. And then it rolled from there. They're going to win this series because really it's the Anthony Davis part. It's just him being too good. We've seen LeBron out there by himself try to carry teams in the finals, and that doesn't necessarily work. But his road dog is strong, and he came up again. All right, Dan, you and your radio guys decided to engage the audience. Y'all had the game on Twitch. You had a viewing party. Let's look at how Dan watches basketball games.
Yes.
There he is right there.
Sensual, comfortable, showing a lot of leg. You know, the sex sells on Twitch, on television. I'm comfortable there. That's also a married man's couch, Bo. That is not the couch I used to have.
How should the NFL proceed with the Patriots and Titans COVID outbreaks?
I don't know. That is like the best answer that I have. I don't know. We find out that Stephon Gilmore has tested positive for COVID-19, and the Titans, the slow trickle of positive tests continues, and they've had more guys test positive. And this is after they had their game canceled on Sunday because of the positive test that came before. I don't know what the NFL's plan was under these circumstances. I am personally not qualified to tell them what exactly it is that they are supposed to do. But it is kind of amazing. They got as far as they had without having an outbreak. And now they're here and now they're all over the place. And I don't know what they're supposed to do with the schedule. I don't know what any of these individual teams are supposed to do. The Titans cannot reopen their facilities. So it seems impossible that they could play a game this weekend. I don't think anybody has a great answer for what there is to do, except the NFL's answer on all these things seems to be keep on going. And they can keep on trying, but your whole damn league's going to be sick. Like, can we pull up this clip at some point of Patrick Mahomes here talking to Stephon Gilmore after that game? That's the future of the league, face up with COVID, just breathing it all in because they're trying to be cordial. Hell no, man.
You know that we're in an apocalyptic place in America with everything happening, 125 mile per hour, fire cyclones. You got a hurricane that's moving this Monday night football game, possibly to Indianapolis. But amid the pandemic and everything else, football's going to get these games in. Football's going to get to this money. I don't feel comfortable, Bomani, because this is something that doesn't have a lot of precedent, criticizing football too much for this, even though Fauci said a bubble was the only way to go or this was going to happen. I ask you this question because I don't know the answer to it. Usually when you're criticizing the NFL, the thing that you can say about it is this must be arrogant. Arrogance is the reason that they fell into whatever situation they fell into. But is this arrogance or is it just that it is totally impractical to ask all of those football players and all of those staffs to spend 4 months in a bubble during a regular season before they even get to the playoffs? With the Players Association, given the relationship that it has with the league, with the owners, and it's not like the one in basketball, would a player association even go for that? Could they have gone bubble?
No, I don't think that that was an option. That wasn't something that the players are probably going to go for. And you talk to the guys around the NBA and you understand, man, they've made that work, but they couldn't wait to get out of that bad boy. They absolutely could not wait to get out of there. So I guess maybe they could have found a way to do it, but I don't think that was necessarily practical. And I do think that we have to point out there is a certain irony, I think this is a proper use of the word irony, to the fact that they allowed themselves as a league to be bullied by politicians for a long time on a lot of different things. And now look at it. Those same politicians that pushed them around and made the NFL follow in lockstep with them, they got the same exact situation that this league has where you're pulling over your app every day and somebody else is testing positive. Y'all couldn't beat this, man.
Well, it is interesting because we saw how the sport ended up sort of mirroring American power as it came to Colin Kaepernick, right? We had the warnings, right, from other countries on how they behaved before it got to America, and we ignored them. We did have test cases in hockey and basketball that were working, and football didn't seem to have anything better as a plan when they weren't going to take that one either.
Hockey and basketball point out that the measure of success on these things is whether your season finishes, not necessarily quite how it goes along the way. Baseball, they had some problems, but they got it back in line, and then boom, it went from there. But part of it with baseball was there was an enforcement from the players on the other players in order to get this done. You saw what happened in Cleveland when those two guys went rogue, and then they wound up off the team in large part because they could not come back into the clubhouse. What's happening with football, though, is the league is blaming the players for this, it seems, and that approach is not going to work nearly as well.
Did Washington make the right move by benching Dwayne Haskins?
All right, this is an interesting question because I'm not here to rah-rah for Dwayne Haskins. He looks like a bit of a dud. I don't fear the Washington football team in any way because he doesn't seem like he's quite ready to be a professional quarterback. His coaching staff changed, and you have a situation here where the backups aren't actually going to be much better when one of them you're going to might be Alex Smith, who I'm not sure I want to see on a football field at all. But this is an awfully quick hook, Bomani. Usually when you invest this way in a top first round pick, you got to be Ryan Leaf to get out of here that fast.
Yeah, this makes me wonder if there's just for some reason they don't like him, right? Like if there's something interpersonal or the way that he deals with the team, because otherwise they're going to Kyle Allen. Like I would feel differently about this if they were going to basically almost any other quarterback in the world, except they're going to Kyle Allen. And so while I don't think that Haskins is good, and I don't think that Haskins was good the last time I saw him, he was worlds better than the last time I saw Kyle Allen. And as I recall, Ron Rivera started Kyle Allen against Washington last year against Dwayne Haskins. Washington won and Rivera got fired, and you're going to go back to Kyle Allen? That's before we get to what Dan just mentioned. Who wants to see Alex Smith play football? Like, good for him that he managed to come back, but nothing that we have seen has indicated that you want to see him play. Like, I saw somebody in my Twitter mentions was like, well, I hope Alex Smith can start. What the hell did Alex Smith ever do to you? Do it out there with one foot. Yeah. Like when they showed, though, yo, that Alex Smith is back, you were like, yo, does that dude have drop foot?
I think the quarterback position in Washington is in a bit of upheaval when your choices are Haskins, Allen, or Alex Smith.
Hasn't got burned by a regime change, man. Like, you know, Dan Snyder obviously was a big part of him getting that gig, but Bruce Allen is gone. Rivera came in and he took over, and Dwayne Haskins is not his guy. You're not going to see Daniel Jones get yanked, even though he is the biggest giveaway machine that we've ever seen, because Dave Gettleman is not giving up. That is his guy. somebody else were to come in and get Dave Gettleman's job, Daniel Jones would be out of there, at least for a little while.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
All right, my father is awfully quiet today on the Miami Heat subject, but he's decided to make an appearance here just to badger the both of us on the subject of Josh Allen.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Do you question if you could see Dabo Swinney leaving Clemson to go coach Deshaun Watson?
I don't know if this is fair to Dabo, but I think of him as a college coach. I don't know whether he has the ego involved that merits wanting to test yourself at the highest professional level. But Deshaun Watson, if you were going to do it in the pros, you would do it with a young quarterback. Those are hard to get. So let's listen to Dabo on the subject of possibly reuniting here with Deshaun.
Have you heard from Deshaun since the shakeup in Houston yesterday, and are you ready for your name to be kind of floating around with that job over the next few weeks, few months?
I have not heard from Deshaun, and that is not even anything that you know I want to even have to even think about. You would be the one to ask that question. All the questions. Man, you won't ask anything about Miami?
Oh, that's not an unfair question there, but that's what coaches do. Bomani, he does not strike me as the pro coach. Does he strike you as a pro coach?
I could see him as a pro coach strictly on the coaching part of it, right? Like what they've done at Clemson is get the best assistant coaches that money can buy or throw the most money you can at assistant coaches. And Dabo is kind of being a CEO type. Like he's not a dude that's going to be like Steve Spurrier trying to bring his magic scheme to the NFL and see if it could work. You get the best guys who can. Like I think it could work for him there. Here's why he's not going. He will get fired if he coaches the Texans. He might get fired after 3 years. He might get fired after 15 years. But at some point, the NFL coach is going to be fired. You can't fire the king. He is the king at Clemson. Like, there's no better job for him. That is his thing that he has put together. I would be stunned if he wound up going to coach the Texans or anybody else. Because honestly, only a fool would go take that Texans job right now. I want you to think about this with the Texans job. The guy that got in charge now is this dude named Jack Easterby, right? Dude is late 30s, used to work for the Patriots. Does anything sound less trustworthy than you than a dude who parlayed being the chaplain into being a guy who runs a whole football operation, right? What about being the chaplain means that you go get that other job? If you got the chaplain job and was like, yo, watch how I flip this. Oh no, man, I don't want no parts of that. And get ready, you're gonna hear more and more about that dude now that he's gotten this power, because there's some questionable things about him.
Do you question if Aaron Rodgers makes a legitimate point?
I am insane with jealousy because Pat McAfee has Aaron Rodgers on every Tuesday during the season. I would like that to be happening on my radio show instead. Let's listen to Aaron Rodgers here with McAfee, loosening up.
It does help being in the second year, for sure. I feel a lot more comfortable. But, you know, I sometimes laugh when people talk about, you know, down years for me, because a lot of times down years for me are career years for most quarterbacks. Oh!
That was what was happening in my heart. Did you guys see that? Wait a minute. That's the visual manifestation of what was happening near my soul right there. Damn right he's right.
He is much better this year than he was in those previous years. I don't have a great explanation as to why it was. I mean, the last year with McCarthy wasn't so great either. It wasn't just about adjusting to the system. But nah, he's way up this year, and I don't mind him flexing. He's good enough that he gets to flex on people like that. Also, shout out to Pat McAfee, who just looked at his professional career and was like, actually, yeah. I want to be in the media. Yeah. That's kind of backwards, right? Like, all of us kind of wish that we'd be like, I personally myself would love to quit this and become an NBA player. Not really an option. That dude does that, and he's scooping us.
How about a punter, though? Would you like to leave this to become a punter?
Oh, yeah, if I can get an NFL pension without getting hit by NFL players?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Do you question if Brett Favre is a good talent evaluator?
All right, so this is from SiriusXM Blitz with Bruce Murray and Brett Favre. Here's what he has to say, Bomani. This is meant to just bother you.
For Buffalo fans and the organization, it's what you've been waiting to see, and you've gotten it. His time is now. And I think it's going to be for quite a quite a while. And I think Josh Allen will be the new Tom Brady, will be running the division.
Oh, okay, like that. I was just lost there because best case scenario, now granted, this would be a really good scenario if it happened, but best case scenario for Josh Allen would be he'd be the next Brett Favre, right? Because I think Brett Favre looks at Josh Allen, and Dan, we talk about this all the time. What do former players love more than anything else in this world? A dude that they look at and say, you know, he reminds me a lot of myself. And that's exactly Josh Allen. Doesn't know what the hell he's doing in his third year. Brett Favre didn't know what a nickel defense was until his second year in the NFL. Of course he'd wind up saying that about Josh Allen. And hey, if there's a time to be optimistic about that dude, that time is right now. He's playing the best football of his life.
There's a whole generation of people. Can we put Brett Favre up there now? Because there are a whole generation of people who basically did not see that this guy was a lot of fun to watch. You tell me, Bomani, if wearing this shirt, looking this kind of pink and this kind of old, looking very aged, if people who don't know who this is would ever have guessed, oh, yes, of course, that guy was a great gunslinger and people really admired the way he threw a football. All right, my father is awfully quiet today on the Miami Heat subject, but he's decided to make an appearance here just to badger the both of us on the subject of Josh Allen.
Hey, Josh Allen, I'd like to apologize to you. I'm sorry that Dan and Bomani were so wrong about you. I always knew you would be good. I've been saying it all along. It was just Dan and Bomani that they were wrong. So I'd like to apologize for how wrong they are.
Does he know exactly who we're talking about here? Are we sure he's not mixing him up with somebody else? Like, are we positive that
well,
he's talking about
the same
Josh Allen?
We can't be sure of that. He's an old man. But I just remember he was always saying, I was always laughing at him. He was always saying, my guy, Josh Allen, in the file of his 100 other my guys.
Happening right now, Marlins and Braves.
Oh, yes. The Marlins are the bottom feeders. They're proud of that distinction. The Braves are not. Bomani, we are old enough to know that leadoff hitters are not supposed to be able to do this with this kind of power to start this series. That is Ronald Acuna. That is a long way away, opposite field. And he flips the bat in a way that is jubilant. And, of course, a little while later, he gets hit by a pitch, but it didn't seem to be intentional, although he seemed to think it was intentional because he went on social media and said this. He says, the only reason that they throw at me is because basically they can't get me out. And he says he's not apologizing to anybody. And he's so good and the top of their order is so good, they shouldn't be apologizing to anybody.
You know, like I tell you about the Braves, I get a whiff of it. I come back. It makes me happy to see these sorts of things. You said Marlins and Braves, and
that was it. You were out.
You want to show that pitch to Fred McGriff right fast? Because the last time these two teams played in the postseason,
oh, yeah.
The single worst call in the
LeBron
history
Hernandez,
of
a Cuban
baseball.
Hero, a Cuban hero, an American hero, LeBron Hernandez. Yes, the late Eric Gregg. I remember that. That was a magical game. I had tears in my eyes. The Cuban experience in the press box. What was it like? 14 strikeouts. Beat Greg Maddux. God bless. LeBron Hernandez.
It was 15 strikeouts. I sat in that damn theater in Little Havana when they did the preview of that 30 for 30 about the Hernandez brothers, and they pulled that clip up there, and it was just a bunch of people. Happy as hell is Spanish.
All right, it wouldn't be like us to pour yet more gasoline on this Atlanta fire, but my father has some thoughts on this as well, Bomani.
I think that it's about time to talk about my favorite Miami team, the team that I have always believed in, the team with the best fans in baseball, the Marlins. No Whiffer, no Yelich, no problem. Derek Jeter, more like Derek Leader. The Brave, more like the Cowards. Stay off that narcotic, Bomani, if you don't want to be a loser. Great Maddux looks like a thumb. Marlins in four. Lifelong Marlins fan, Papi has spoken.
Derek Jeter is not what he said. He said Derek Jeter, and it wasn't the other word you might have thought it was.
I would ask who played for the Marlins, but ain't none of them going to play for them next year, if any history is any occasion.
Like, no.
You want to guarantee that you don't play for the – you want. Let me tell you this. You want to guarantee that you don't play for the Marlins no more? Just go win a World Series. They'll trade you right away.
Tonight at 7:10 p.m. Eastern, Rays and Yankees.
The Rays are out here trying to foul it up for everybody, not giving us Yankees and Dodgers. They get in the way last night. They're up late here. Watch what happens here with the umpiring, though. The Yankees are down three, runner on first. Oh, my God. How is that? How is that a strike? That is not a strike. Look at Brett Gardner. He seems in a perpetual state of bald-headed pink rage. Yeah, that was outside. I mean, I understand why he was angry. Bomani, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I'll be intrigued. Now I want you to imagine 15 of those, all right? Because some of you kids don't remember the game that we was talking about a little bit earlier with the Braves and the Marlins. Imagine 15 strikeouts on pitches just like that. Just imagine.
They were more curveballs. LeVon was throwing that slop up there. He wasn't throwing hard and outside. It was just curveballs out of the strike zone. Greg Maddux had that same strike zone. Bomani, that same terrible Eric Gregg strike zone. He had the same strike zone and he lost 2-1.
Greg Maddux is not capable of throwing pitches that far out of the strike zone. He couldn't do it if he tried. 15.
He's still mad. Let's end the show that way. Check out Bomani Jones. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is where you go. He is not off that narcotic. He's off the Atlanta Falcons narcotic. It ain't off that Braves narcotic.
Y'all ain't even appreciated. You didn't keep any of the players. Gary Sheffield can't even get in the Hall of Fame with that World Series that he got that year because nobody respects.